Good afternoon. We welcome today Wauwatosa East High School students. Would they please stand? Maybe seated. Thank you. We're delighted to have you. I met with you as well as other high school students after the second oral argument today, and we discussed the procedures that the court uses for taking cases and deciding cases. And now you're going to hear the arguments in this case. The Wauwatosa East High School students, along with the Edgerton High School students and the Lancaster High School students, are here with a program sponsored by the State Bar and this court. And as I have told you, it's cleverly entitled Court with Class. It's a national award-winning program. Students from around the state are invited to come to listen to an oral argument. If they come, they're given materials about the case, and they may engage in activities relating to the case, listen to oral argument, meet with a justice, and as I told the students, if they want to read the opinion in the case that they've heard, they can go to the internet to our website, wicourts.gov. If there's anyone in the audience here today who wishes a summary of the case we're about to hear, please raise your hand and the deputy marshal will give you a summary. While these summaries are being distributed, let me introduce the court to you all. On my far right is Justice Annette Ziegler. Seated next to her is Justice David Prosser. To my immediate right is Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. I'm Shirley Abrahamson, the Chief Justice. To my immediate left is Justice Patrick Crooks. Seated next to him is Justice Patience Robinsack. And on the far left is Justice Michael Gableman. With those introductions made, I will call our last case for today, 09AP191, Stupar River, LLC versus Town of Linwood Board of Review. Arguing on behalf of Stupar River is Thomas W. Burtz. Mr. Burtz.
Good afternoon, members of the Supreme Court. My name is Tom Burtz. I'm with the law firm of Anderson, O'Brien, Burtz, Srinus, and Gala in Stevens Point, and I represent Stupar River, LLC, which is the appellant in this case, and also known as the Stupar River. Stupar River owns a golf course in the town of Linwood in Portage County, and the golf course is known as the Wisconsin River Country Club. Stupar River purchased the country club in 2001 for $830,000. In 2003, the town of Linwood assessed the country club for $1,831,500, or over $1 million, an increase as far as the assessment is concerned. Stupar River filed a writ of certiorari with the circuit court. The circuit court reversed the town of Linwood assessment, and the town of Linwood then appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals reversed the circuit court and remanded the case back to having the assessment of $1,831,500 reinstated.
That's not before us now. You're just giving us history. That case is not before us, right?
That case is not before us.
Right, okay.
2003, the assessment again was $1,831,500 as it was in 2004. But in 2005, it was assessed at $1,893,400. Now, the Stupa River had paid under protests the years 2003, 2004, and also in 2005. Now, in 2006...
No, just to clarify, it's the 2005 assessment that's before us. Is that right?
Yes.
And you're here on certiorari again.
That's right. It was to the circuit court of certiorari, but the relief that was asked in the certiorari was that the property had been overassessed in 2003, 2004, and 2005, and that it had requested a refund because of the overassessment together
now,
with interest.
The trial court and the Court of Appeals did not reach the issue of 2003 and 2004, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Now,
Counselor, why is that? You argue that 2003, 2004, and 2005 have all been overassessed, and you claim for a refund of taxes paid in each of those years, right?
That's right, Justice Orbison.
Okay. So why are we just talking about 2005 and not those other ones?
We are not talking about just 2005. We are talking about the other 2 years, 2003, 2004.
That was my understanding, but I think the Chief Justice maybe had a different understanding from your answer.
All right. I hope that I am clear that we're involving all 3 years.
Well, was there cert on 2003?
I'm sorry, Justice.
Did you file certiorari for 2003 and 4? Your petition says that. But
we did not, Justice.
No, you did not.
We paid those taxes under protest.
Right.
The circuit court had held that by virtue of the Dusterbeck case, which is, I believe, 231 Wiz 2nd 16, we had preserved our rights to those 2 prior years.
But let's make it absolutely clear about the procedure. You did not file certiorari for 2003.
Not in 2006, no.
You didn't file it for 2004.
We did not file in 2003 or 2004.
You filed for 2005.
Right.
And have you filed for a refund in 2003 or 2004?
Yes, we have.
That's not before us, is it?
We have. The circuit court had held, and we had argued before the circuit court regarding the Dusterbeck case, which I had previously said.
I understand. And but you did not file in certiorari for those 2 years, and if we're going to go to those 2 years, we have to do it on the Dusterbeck case. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. We understand each other.
Okay. So you're asking for a refund if you prevail here for all 3 years, correct?
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
Counsel, does the record disclose why there is such a disparity between the purchase price in 2001 and the assessed value in 2002?
The record here does not have that, Your Honor. That case was appealed, but that was a separate appeal. And this court, I don't believe, was involved with respect to that appeal.
Thank you.
The Court of Appeals held, didn't it not, in the relating to 2002, that the sale for $850,000 did not fit within the statutory language of a fair market value between a willing buyer and a willing seller.
That's right.
That's what they held. The 2002 assessment is not before us, is it?
It is not.
No. That case is done.
That's
right?
Done. Right.
All right. So what is really before us at the moment is 2005.
Right. It's 2003, 2004, and 2005. Right.
One at a time. Let's take 2005, right? If you win on 2005, you still have to do 2003, 2004. If you lose on 2005, you're done with 2003 and 2004. Do you agree with that?
Yes, right.
Okay.
I believe that would be correct.
All right.
Now, the property in 2006 was assessed at $1,435,900, which is approximately $500,000 less than it was in 2005. The Supa River had informed the circuit court regarding the reduction in the assessment, and the circuit court then in the hearing said that the town of Linwood would either have to give an explanation, a rational explanation, why the property was reassessed in 2006 at a lower amount than it was in the three prior years.
I have a question for you. Is the 2006 assessment fair market value?
Yes.
I thought it was not done on fair market value, but it was done on the basis of the Department of Revenue.
It was not based upon fair market value, but we assume it is the fair market value.
Why?
Right. The reason why we assume it is the fair market value is under 70.32 sub 1, real estate, if it's going to be valued, has to be valued at its full value. And we believe that the full value, of course, under the cases which I have cited, the Noah Ark case and the other cases, the Kesselman case, full value is fair market value. And the Court of Appeals, in the rather interesting decision which upheld the circuit court, had said that the value that was given in 2006 was independent of the fair market value. And it is a position of Stupa River is that you cannot value a property independent of the fair market value under 7032 sub 1. Because 7032 sub 1 says it has to be the, in essence, the fair market value. Because if the assessor could assess a property independent of the fair market value, it could pull any figure figuratively out of the air for that particular assessment. And it is the position of Stupa River that the assessment in 2006, which coincidentally was similar to what the appraiser for the town of Linwood had given, not the assessor, but the appraiser had given, as well as the appraiser for Supar River. In any event, we believe that in the year 2006, which the Supar River does not object to, that is the fair market value for the property, and as a result of the fact that the assessor for the town of Linwood said that the preceding years, which would be 2003, 2004, and 2005, were virtually the same, then we are, that at Stupa River then, when they pay the taxes, under protest, are entitled to a refund for the property being overassessed for those 3 years.
You know, I could interpret your argument either as a question of fact, which doesn't work well up here, or a question of law. If I interpret it as a question of fact, then I would have to extrapolate from the assessor's statement that the fair market value really hasn't changed in the last few years to mean that the fair market value in 05, 04, and 03 were as set out in 06, right?
That's right.
Okay. But if I, and the trial court didn't make that kind of factual finding, right?
You're right.
Okay. So if it's to be interpreted as a question of law, which this court would take on, how do we get to your claim in 7032.1, which I understand? How do we get there from a connection with evidence when the trial court didn't make a factual finding? Do you understand what's bugging me?
Yes, right. And this is there would have to be an assumption that the year 2006 valuation by the assessor was the fair market value.
Yeah, well, I can understand your argument from that. I mean, we have interpreted, this court has interpreted full value, which is the phrase used in 7032.1, as fair market value.
Yes.
So we have essentially said 7032.1 requires the appraiser to use fair market value. I'm with you that far. But you still have to somehow connect up the statement by the assessor that the fair market value really hasn't changed very much in order to pull it within there, don't you? And I mean, do you need a factual finding for that? Or maybe there's no facts and controversy on that statement.
I don't believe that there is any controversy with respect to that. The Supa River will concede that the year 2006 was the fair market value.
I'm not doing a good job here. Just say I agree with you. Okay, 2006 is the fair market value. That's off the table. I agree with that. But I want to look back at 05, 04, and 03, and you're telling me those are also the same value as 06 because, A, the assessor has to use the fair market value, and we've established what it is, and, B, the assessor said the valuation has not changed over the last few years. Therefore, the fair market value of those 3 years are the same as the fair market value in 06, right? Isn't that your argument?
That concept is not which we are advocating, Your Honor. The concept we have here is that the 2006 is the fair market value in the preceding 3 years, since there has not been any change in the fair market value, have been overassessed.
Yeah, well, that's right. But what I'm trying to get to is this second part, okay? In the preceding 3 years, the values haven't changed.
Yes.
Okay? Why isn't that a factual finding of the circuit court that's not present here?
That I don't know, Your Honor.
Well, let me give you a couple of thoughts. Number one, if there's no testimony that's contrary to the assessor's statement that the fair market value has not changed over the past 3 years, then what would be factual can become an issue of law because nothing controverts it. Or B, if there is something that either by inference or direct statement controverts it, then I don't think we can get where you want to go.
Well, if there has not been any change in the values for those 3 years, then that would be the assumption as well.
That's fine. But how do you get the factual finding that there has not been a change?
Can I try a slightly different way? Is it in the record that there was no change in fair market value from 2003 to 2006?
Yes.
Where is that in the record?
That is in the letter from the assessor to the court that said to the effect that there has not been any change in value for the preceding years.
And so I think what Justice Rogenczyk was asking you is that what you're asking us to rely on and say, because there's been no change, we need to assess at the 06 value?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify it in my mind. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Counsel, as I understood it, and there's a lot of stuff going around here, the way that I read the record anyway, is that the trial court was with you initially. It was with you. It had a decision at the March 27, 2008 hearing, and it issued a judgment as a result of that hearing on May 12th, and it sent it back to the Town of Linwood Board of Review and said, hey, Town of Linwood Board of Review, and this is Appendix 129, what you have to do is you're going to have to reassess this 2003, 2004, 2005 to be consistent with the 2006 and 2007 assessments, or give me, will you please, quote, or that the board provide a rational explanation as to why the property has decreased in value. So, good old Town of Linwood Board of Review did that, and on April 14th, 2008, Daniel Mielke sent a letter to whom it may concern. As I understood it, and I understood it in part from the Court of Appeals opinion also, that this letter indicates that the reason 2006 went down around $400,000 was because, as the Court of Appeals says in paragraph 7 of their opinion, it was because the property had nothing to do with of 2006 assessment, had nothing to do with fair market value. Rather, based on this April 14th, 2008 letter from Dan Mielke, it was assessed for the amount in 2006 because of the Department of Revenue's information regarding commercial property and equalization. And based on that information from the equalization report, we reduced it by $400,000 in 2006. Am I wrong? And then the trial court said, ah, okay, that explains it. It's a rational basis. That's why you had 2006. What am I missing?
That is what the record shows. But the record also shows that Mielke, in that letter, said that the value of the property in the preceding years had not changed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way that I read this is it still is at the amount of it hasn't changed. We're reducing it. You're not going to object to that, as the trial court judge said, hey, no property owner is going to ever objects to the reduction. So they're reducing it, but that doesn't mean really that the 2006 was fair market value, but who's going to object to it is what I heard the trial court judge say. Anyway, that's what it appears to me the trial court judge say. Tell me if I have misunderstood the record at all in terms of the trial court.
Your understanding of the record is accurate. However, there has been a huge wrong has been committed in this situation, because if the year 2006, making the assumption that is the fair market value, and there has not been any change in the preceding years in the value, then Supar River had been paying taxes on the property which had been over-assessed for 3 years.
Paragraph 7 of the Court of Appeals opinion says the flaw in this, your argument, is that the reason for the reduction in 2006 assessment had nothing to do with fair market value. Where in the record can you show me that the 2006 assessment was based on fair market value rather than a reduction because of the equalization report from the Department of Revenue?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's because of Section 7032, sub 1. If the assessor could assess a property independent of the fair market value, then the assessment arena has gone amok, and an assessor could assess property at any value.
But just like the trial court said, if it's $400,000 lower, who's going to object? I mean, if someone assessed my property at less than the fair market value, I don't think I would object.
Right.
I mean, on a good day.
Thank you.
Now, when you were before the board, you, Stupar, introduced expert testimony, right?
Yes, we intended to introduce expert testimony. Expert testimony was granted And our expert testimony was that an appraiser had said that the property value was similar to the $1,403,000.
And the board introduced expert testimony. Well, the town introduced expert testimony about the value of the property before
right.
the board, right?
And the board, the town of Linwood also had an right. expert saying the same.
And the assessor gave the assessor's view, right?
Yeah.
And the board then said it went along with the assessor.
That's right.
And the assessor's value is presumptively correct, right?
Right, unless it's not according to law, right?
That's right. And so your position is that it's not according to law because 2006 it dropped.
Right.
And that you therefore say that, what is your position, that presumptively the 2006 is fair market value?
That is our presumption, is that the 2006 is the fair market value.
And you don't buy into the explanation of the assessor?
That's right.
But you do, maybe you don't agree that the Department of Revenue does this equalization figure.
Yeah, we don't disagree with those facts, Your Honor.
But that on the basis of that, you say the assessor cannot change the figure, the assessed value.
Yes, the assessor cannot change the value of the property based on some classification unless the property itself is actually the fair market value.
And the assessor says that the assessment was changed in 2006 on the basis of this equalization figure, not on the basis of fair market value.
That's true.
And yet you want to bring in the 2006 figure to show fair market value. That's where I have a disconnect. 2006, the assessor says it's not fair market value. It's based on this equalization, not fair market value. And yet you want to turn that into fair market value. You're sort of stuck because, as Justice Bradley and others have said, you don't want to attack that as not fair market value because it's to your interest.
Yes.
Yet the assessor says it's not fair market value.
Well, he states that it's not the fair market value, but under 7032 sub 1, it has to be the fair market value.
If it were not, then the circuit court and the Court of Appeals could not be upheld on this issue because they are obliged to have an assessment based on the fair market value, right? So you can't very well affirm the assessor in one hand and then in the other hand say, oh, but his assessment is not the fair market value, correct? Because you would be affirming something that's contrary to law. Isn't that your argument?
That's right.
So it has to be the fair market value if it's going to be affirmed.
Unless it wasn't objected to. I mean, it wouldn't get up here. No one's going to object to it. I mean, I would guess.
I don't know.
Yes.
Well, the value was objected to because you put in your own assessment and the result came down in line with either your assessment, your assessor's, appraiser's, wrong word, your appraiser's opinion or what it was reduced to in 06.
Right? That's right.
I must miss something. I understood from the record that you never had an objection to 2006. Did you ever file an objection to the 2006 value?
No, did
no
not,
you
Judge.
Did not. That's right.
Right.
Okay. You never filed an objection.
We conceded that the 2006 value was accurate, and we assumed that also it was the fair market value under 7032.
Now, have you made a claim for a refund?
Yes.
Okay.
We
for 2003
asked for a
and 2004.
Under the doctrine of equity.
But did you actually file a claim for refund?
We did not file a refund,
okay.
But we had argued that, and the circuit court had stated
right.
in its decision that the Court of Equity would not allow a wrong to be undone.
You're not under 74.37, are you?
No.
And that's a claim for excessive assessment or an action, meaning a claim by an aggrieved party to recover the amount of general property tax imposed because the property assessment was excessive. You're not under 7437. You're under 7047.13. Is that right?
Right. Okay. We also ask that interest under 7437.5 be granted.
I understand that. Thank you, Mr. Burtz.
Thank you.
Mr. Reshevitz, representing the town of Linwood.
Thank you. Good afternoon, members of the court. My name is Morris Reshevitz. I'm also from Stevens Point, and I represent the town of Linwood. I do want to comment on some of the background information in an effort to help clarify a couple of things. It's correct that Mr. Stupar initially acquired this golf course property for $830,000. The date of acquisition was January 30th of 2001. The town of Linwood assessed the property as of the 2002 tax year, January 1 of 2002, at $1,831,500. That was objected to. The only objections that have been filed in this entire case are for the 2002 assessment that followed the initial acquisition and for the year 2005. There have never been any objections to any other assessment tax years.
They were paid under protest, but no objection was filed.
Correct.
And no claim for a refund was
filed.
Correct,
under 7437.
Under 2003 and 2004.
2003 and 2004 were simply paid under protest, and that was the end of it.
But now we're in discussing 2005.
Correct. In 2005, there was an objection. And there was a hearing, and as the court pointed out, there was testimony before the Board of Review. This is the second hearing before the Board of Review involving Stupar River's taxes. At that hearing in 2005, Vitali, the gentleman who was the expert for Mr. Stupar, testified at length, or submitted a written report, perhaps. Scott Williams from Scott Williams Realty in Wausau testified at length on behalf of the town of Linwood, and Mr. Milkey, the assessor, who, as the court noted, has a presumption on his side that his assessment is presumptively correct. He testified and was cross-examined, and he gave the figure which the Board of Review adopted for 2005 at $1,893,400. Interestingly enough, in the year 2006, the assessment was lowered. And as the court again noted, it's very unusual for a taxpayer to object to having their taxes lowered. So that didn't happen, although it could have, but it did not happen. Instead, though, the certiorari proceedings were pending. And rather than challenging 2005, as we began to do, we meaning collectively the attorneys, in the form of certiorari from the Board of Review's action, Mr. Stupar, through his counsel, changed tact. He saw that Mr. Milkey reduced the taxes. Consequently, we are not arguing in certiorari before Judge Flugar in 2005 that that assessment is invalid because it wasn't based on substantial evidence or credible evidence. Instead, we're arguing that the prior years were too high. Otherwise, why would they have lowered the assessment?
Counselor, whether there's an objection or not, doesn't Section 7032 sub 1 require the assessor to always make his assessments based on full value?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the 2006 was not objected to, but you must assume that the assessor is following the law when he does 2006, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. So then doesn't that mean that, I mean, counselor's argument is, well, that establishes the fair market value then for 2006,
and that
whether
is
or not it's objected to, correct?
And that's what I disagree with.
Why?
Because there was no reassessment. The value was lowered in light of the Department of Revenue's action. And there are two things at play here, Your Honor. One, we are not reading the entirety of 70.32, and we must do that. 70.32, parentheses 1, talks about the fact that the property must be assessed at full value or fair market value. No question about that.
Okay, good. I'm with you.
70.32 sub 2 cannot be ignored.
Right.
Because that also speaks in terms of the assessor being required. It says the assessor shall segregate into the following classes on the basis of use and set down separately in proper columns the values of the land exclusive of improvements in each class, and then it lists classes, residential, commercial, agricultural, undeveloped, and manufacturing. So we have varying classes that are assessed, and they have to be assessed at full value.
Well, so you try to keep the property that's used similarly treated. I mean, isn't that what the statute is in line with?
The statute, 70.32, sub 1 and 2, more importantly to this case, is the uniformity clause of the Wisconsin Constitution.
Sure. Right.
Article 8, Section 1,
okay,
which addresses the fact that the rule of taxation shall be uniform,
right,
and it requires, quoting this court in the decision.
You have to go in front of the microphone, though.
In the Levine versus Fox Point Review Board case in 1995, this court indicated that the provision, the uniformity provision of the Constitution, requires all taxation, whether it's personal property, real estate, whatever class we're talking about, commercial, agricultural, residential, it requires that the method or mode of taxing real property must be applied uniformly to all classes of property within the tax district.
Right.
That goes to the heart of what happened here with the major class.
I understand that, but there, unless the assessor is not going to comply with sub 1 and assess this commercial property at its fair market value, I don't see how you can fulfill the obligation under the statute. You can't just say, well, we decided to adjust all commercial property. That only means to me all commercial property was assessed at above its fair market value if you're going to lower it, because you're still obligated to comply with one, whether you adjust it all by a class or whether you adjust it because this property is out of line with the class. You still have to have the fair market value of the property, and I'm frankly, that's what I'm stuck on. So if you can tell me why you can assess it on something other than the fair market value and comply with subsection 1, you'll help me a lot, because I can't figure it out.
Oh, I'll try to do that, because if you look at the major class comparison report, and part of the issue here that Mr. Mielke addressed is that the town of Linwood has very little commercial property in the township to even deal with. But the problem is the fair market value, as Mr. Mielke testified to, for the golf course property is in 2005 was the $1,893,400. However, when you compare that assessment with the level of assessments for all commercial properties in the town of Linwood, and I'm referring to the major class comparison report, which is at Appellant's Appendix, page 132, we see that in the year 2005, the commercial property in the town of Linwood was actually assessed at 116.29% of fair market value.
So
in other words, the assessment...
Right. It wasn't complying with subsection 1 then, was it? Because subsection 1 doesn't permit 116% of fair market value. It permits 100% of fair market value.
What happened is that the percentage of this value compared to all commercial property in the town, we have a golf course at a $1.8 million. The total commercial property is $1.9 in the entire township. The record established in the trial court, there's only three commercial properties in the entire township.
Yeah.
There's this golf course along the Wisconsin River. There's a tavern that sells basket food called Rusty's Backwater Saloon. Mm-hmm. And there's a Linwood meat operation. They butcher deer and that sort of thing.
Well, that makes the class a pretty small class, doesn't it, for the town of Linwood?
It's a very small class.
May I ask a question? If this is residential property and it's assessed at fair market value, and this is commercial property and it's assessed at fair market value, but you tax this at 116% of fair market value, this commercial property, and you tax this at 90-something percent of fair market value, have you not violated the uniformity clause?
Not by the assessment.
Taxing it. They're both assessed. Well, they're valued at 100%, each class. But if you tax this class at 116% of fair market value, and you tax this class at 90-some percent of fair market value, have you not violated the uniformity clause of the Constitution? Because these two classes and manufacturing property have to be taxed uniformly. If it's agricultural land over here, you can tax that differently. If it's undeveloped land over here, you can tax this differently. If there's a swamp land, you can tax that differently. But this one and this one, you have to tax the same rate.
Counsel?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, let him answer the question.
You may proceed to answer the question.
Okay. I think the problem here is that the values, the fair market values established by the assessor, have remained the same. The problem is that when you have the factor of the other properties built into this in the form of the class comparison report, we have a situation where comparing all properties in that particular township, this property is being, the effective tax rate is higher than what the others are. So the figure was lowered. It doesn't change the market value of the property. It doesn't change what the property is worth. There's been no feature of what the property is that's being taxed that's different. The problem is that they were paying more tax based on those figures, and consequently the assessor lowered the effective tax rate to bring it in line with other classes to be uniform.
Well, let me try this once more. Let's say this is a cluster of residential property, and it's worth $1 million. And you tax that at 93% of full market value. And this is worth $1 million. And you tax this at 116% of fair market value. Isn't there a problem here?
Yes. There's disparity there, and that's why the value was lowered for tax purposes in 2006.
But if you do that for a series of years, is there no way to, for the taxpayer here to recoup the overtax, or don't you consider
I don't consider that an overtax. It's an adjustment that's based on historical fact. Mielke explains it better than I could in his letter, where he states in response to that type of inquiry that the problem, this is set forth in my brief and also at the appellant's appendix, page 131. The very last paragraph, Mielke says, and I quote, AAP 131, "It is my understanding from looking at the data that what really happened is the state had sufficient sales to increase the overall value of all classes of properties over the years, with the exception of the commercial class. When it came to commercial properties, however, it appears there were not sufficient sales to show a market increase to the same degree. Therefore, the Department of Revenue kept commercial properties at static level. This does not mean that the properties have not increased in value, but rather that no evidence has come forward to show an increase. The fair market value of commercial properties stayed about the same in value as in previous years. It's just that the other classes of properties had their value show an increase."
Counsel, I'd suggest that we all look at Appendix 142, because I think that what the court needs is a definition of equalized value, right? And 142 explains that the assessed value is the value placed on each parcel of real property on, and on each individual's taxable personal property by the local assessor. And then it says in the third paragraph, because assessors in different taxing districts value property at different percentages of market value, it's necessary for the department to convert the assessed values by the taxing jurisdiction to a uniform level. These uniform values are called equalized values, and that was what the department did, right? And that was a basis of 2006. Because all the various local levels of assessment have been equalized, and all non-ag property has been valued on an equal basis, namely 100%. The equalized values play a role, and they play a role for apportioning county property taxes, public school taxes, vocational school taxes, and for distributing property tax relief. The assessed value is important for maintaining equity among individual taxpayers within the municipality. That's the assessed value by the board or the assessor. While the equalized value maintains equity between municipalities and counties. In summary, equalized values are not only used to distribute the state levy among the counties, but also the equalized values distribute each county's levy among the municipalities in that county. The assessed values are used to distribute the municipality's tax burden among the individual property owners. So the equalized value does not necessarily equal fair market value within that community for all of the taxpayers. And what the assessor, is that what your argument is?
Yes.
And what the assessor did in 2006 is he took a figure of equalized value, which does not necessarily mean fair market value in that community for those taxpayers, and inserted it. And the taxpayer, of course, is not going to complain because his taxes were lowered. Now, that's how I read this.
And I think you read it correctly.
Well, of course, because I'm favoring your side in my reading, but is that correct?
Yes, but I think it's also supported by the data. And again,
okay, but then you have to explain the data to me.
I'm sorry?
I said you have to explain the data to me.
Well,
What page are you looking at?
I'm looking at 132, AAP 132, which is the major class comparison.
All right.
And that is a...
This is from the Department of Revenue. We're talking about equalization now and not assessment.
And what we're talking about, as I indicated, if we go to 2005, the years are in the left-hand column, we see for commercial property, even though the golf course is at $1.8 million, I'm using a round number, the total commercial property in the entire township is $1,996,600. And it's at 116.29% of all the assessed values. After Mielke lowered for 2006, you can see the commercial class was reduced to 85.7%. If we take the second entry in that column for the year 2006, compared with a total of 86.01%, for all classes, it's in line, it's consistent, it's uniform, it meets the constitutional requirement of uniformity of taxation. If we look at 2007, the same comparison for commercial property, the total value is the same, $1,996,600, and that's 85.7 again. And comparing it to the total within the entire township, it's 82.17. So it's not mathematically precise because we can never be dealing with...
How does that support your argument, counsel? Because that would say that 2005, which is the year in disagreement here, it's 116.29, which is out of line with every single figure. What members of the court are saying to you is, by definition, that violates the uniformity clause and violates fair market value. So how do you explain that? How do you justify that?
Well, I justify it by saying that that doesn't represent fair market value. It represents the assessment that was levied based on fair market value.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying is that the assessed value, in your opinion, was fair market value, even though under the Department of Revenue Equalization Program, it comes out 116%. Is that what you're saying?
I believe so.
Because you have to then say that the Bureau of Equalization does not mean that the assessed value in the community is too high or too low for purposes of the individual assessment. That's what the department says in their brochure that you have attached. That assessed value and equalized value are not the same. And you can't necessarily use one for the other. Because the department uses equalized value for other purposes. That is to divide out revenues.
Yes.
Well, if you're saying yes to her, then the assessor has not complied with his obligations under 7032. Sub 1 for 2006 because he didn't base the valuation on the fair market value, which is what the statute requires.
Well, the statute requires that you base the assessed value on fair market value.
Right. So if you're agreeing with the Chief Justice that in this case, fair market value does not equal the equalized value, they're two different numbers, but the assessor used the equalized value, then he didn't comply with the statute in 2006. That's a different answer than you gave to my question earlier. Do you see the problem I'm having? I mean, I understand the difference where they came from, equalized value, assessed value, but I look at the statute, and the statute requires the assessor to assess property at fair market value. It doesn't say you do it at fair market value if the equalized value is the same, or you do it at fair market value whenever you please. You have to do it every time. And if you're using the equalized value, and you're telling me the equalized value now is less than the fair market value, then he hasn't complied with the statute. I mean, I think, don't we have a right to assume he's going to comply with the statute and use fair market value? See, that's where the arguments diverge, is that I think Mr. Burtz says your assessor has to use the fair market value. It doesn't matter what other label you put on it. And your argument is, well, he used the equalized value. He didn't use the fair market value. And my concern is, if he didn't, how did he comply with the statute, which requires it? Does that make any sense, or am I kind of talking in circles? Because I see you're not,
well,
we're not on the same page. I can see that.
I think not, because I think to me it may be to some degree a matter of semantics, because the assessor has one function, and he performed that function. He performed that function in 2005 in every year that he was asked to since this property was acquired. And in the year 2005, he gave his opinion. His opinion was $1,893,500. That's the fair market value. That number is fixed. It was supported. It was supported by his testimony, his exhibits, comparable sales. Well, there weren't comparables, not in the township. But there were, based on the other
documentation. I understand that argument, and I think you've made it very well, and it's very clear. What I don't understand is how you can say that he can use some other value for 2006. See, the statute requires he use the fair market value. Whether you do it for 05, 06, 2007, every year the assessor puts a number on your property, he's got to put it on the fair market value. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Okay.
That's statutory.
Right, absolutely, and I think we're on the same page. Then where you and I diverge, and where we're not communicating well, is that in 2006 you're telling me he didn't put the fair market value on. He used the equalized value, right?
Well, again, here's where semantics gets into it, because I don't think...
They're two different numbers.
They are two different numbers.
Okay.
But his opinion of fair market value is 1.8935.
He didn't give that opinion. He assessed the property in 2006 at $1.5 million, correct?
At
1.4. It's 1.4. It's and change.
No, he didn't assess it at that. He lowered the value from the 1.8935.
Well, what was the document entitled that he used for that?
I don't know that he prepared a document.
So the assessment.
It was based on the Department of Revenue's major class comparison report.
Well, let's get down to, it was an assessment in 2006, because it's now 2011, right? There was an assessment in 2006 of this property. What was it?
It wasn't assessed.
They paid property taxes, right? On what basis?
It was assessed at the lower figure.
Okay.
The 1.4.
That's right. It was assessed at 1.4. Now, according to the trial court and the Court of Appeals, they said that 2006 number was not based on fair market value. It was based on this equalized value. And therefore, they weren't going to use the 2006 value. Has anyone challenged the 2006 value?
No.
And in your brief on page 6, you say that sub N in 2, In the instant case in 2009, the Stupar River failed to understand that the reduction in value for the 2006 year did not represent a reassessment to determine fair market value at all. As clearly stated by the Court of Appeals, the next flaw of the argument is that the reason for the reduction in 2006 had nothing to do with fair market value. And that's your argument, right?
Yes.
So the argument of some of the justices is, which makes perfectly good sense, that if the 2006 was not fair market value, then it was unlawful because 2006 had to be based on fair market value. And you should respond, but the 2006 assessment is not before us.
I'm sorry?
I would expect you to respond, but the 2006 assessment is not before us. What is before us is that it's not based on fair market value. And if they want to fight about 2006, go ahead and fight.
Well, it's not before you, but beyond that, the issue here, it seems to me, is had Mielke, the assessor, done nothing. We're looking at the 2005 assessment, and nothing would have happened, period. Instead,
right.
He elected to lower the tax on this parcel of property, which was and always has been, since he performed the assessment, 1.8935 as a fair market value. Now, how the Department of Revenue and how assessed values all enter into it isn't necessarily fair market value, the figure you end up with. I concede that. And if you read the literature, equalized versus fair market value and so on, I know two things. One is 7032 sub 1 requires a fair market value assessment, appraisal, whatever you will, to establish fair market value, namely, what are you going to get for this property on the open market with a seller who's willing to sell but not compelled to sell, from a buyer who's willing to buy but not compelled to buy? What are you going to get as a price on the open market? That's my definition of fair market value. But having said that, if you have a situation where you've got fair market value, which he has established by appraisal, what he did in order to bring it in line, as he put it, those were his terms, not mine, was he looked at the prior year, 2005, and we've got, based on what the Department of Revenue said, taxes being levied at based on a figure above fair market value. So he lowered it because he's got a uniformity requirement by the Wisconsin Constitution. And what he means is consistent. It's got to be equitable. So as the justice, I can't recall which justice, but suggested, you can't have a property over here paying 100-some% of fair market value in taxes if you have the same or substantially similar property paying 86% or 89% of fair market value. They should be paying approximately the same. Again, you're never going to get mathematical precision in real estate. These are matters of opinion. They're a matter of judgment.
No one argued that the 2005 was unconstitutional, is not uniform. Did they?
No.
Okay. It's all argued on fair market value. Is that right? This case is argued on whether the assessed value for 2005 is the fair market value in 2005. Isn't that the basis for this argument?
That's the argument of the petitioner, yes.
Thank you.
May
I'm sorry, Justice Prosser.
Could I ask you, counsel, to turn to Appendix 132?
Yes.
You have this chart, and moving from left to right, you have property class, and then you have total assessed value. That's the value that the assessor has put on all of the particular property in a class in the town. Is that right?
I believe so. It's a Department of Revenue form, but I believe that's correct.
So that in 2004, the total assessment was $2,321,900 for all of the commercial property in the town of Linwood?
That's what it shows.
And then moving up, it's the same thing. And then it goes down to $1,711,000. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, in the next column, total state value, what does that mean?
Total state value? I don't know. As I say, it's a Department of Revenue form. It's not something that was prepared by the township or the town assessor.
But surely the 2004 $2,303,700 in 2004 goes down in 2005. The state was saying something about things happening in 2005. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it seems to me if the total assessed value in that first column, $2,321,000 in 2004 and 2005 is exactly the same, but in 2005, I think it went up $64,000. According to my quick calculations for the country club, but didn't go up at all for the single tavern in the town of Linwood, if that's the only other commercial property. But while the assessment of the country club in 2005 was about 60-some thousand more than it was the year before, what's happening is that what was 100%, I'm over in the class level of assessment now, the last set of numbers, the class level percent of assessment was 100% in 2004, but it went up 116.29% in 2005. So what you're telling me is that the assessor in the town raised the assessment of the country club, but didn't raise the assessment of anybody else in the commercial class in the town. The state seemed to have that class of property go down from one year to the next, and they assessed that class at 116.29% of fair market value. There's no problem here?
I think there was a problem there. There was a disparity because it shouldn't be assessed at 116% of fair market value. But, I mean, that's clear.
But the actual assessment went up in 2005. It's not only the percentage of taxation, so that it's the percentage of taxation is way out of line with other properties, other classes of properties that must be taxed at the same level. It's the assessment of this particular property went up while other commercial properties weren't going up.
Well, from 2004 to 2005, the total assessed value stayed the same. The total state value dropped. It says all major classes in compliance, and the answer is no. But then it says major class out of compliance. It has the number of one. And one, if this reads the way I read it, is residential. It doesn't say the major class out of compliance is commercial. What does one mean? Is
that one, what you one to me, reading this form, I looked at that and I said the same thing to myself.
Residential, which is out of compliance.
Which is residential.
Not commercial. Then it says five. Sum of five, 5M, 6, and 7. I don't know what that means.
Five is undeveloped, 5M, agricultural forest. 6 is productive forest land. 7 is other.
And that is the same on all these years. So when I read this as one is out of whack. And when I looked at the numbers in 2004, the difference between state and assessed was $5 million on residential. It went up to $8 million in 5, and I noticed in 4 it doesn't have one. It was the same $8 million differential in 2006, and it was $10 million differential in 2007. So that seemed to be out of compliance, even though the percentage seemed to be, when you look at the total, within range. So I think that we've milked this as much as we can at this moment, unless you have something further to say. You completed, counsel. Are you done?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank Mr. Burtz. And
we have 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. We ran so
Mr.
long,
Burtz
I forgot
going to explain
about
explain everything for us.
Mr. Burtz.
5 minutes.
Go ahead. 5 minutes, explain these charts. And
Chief, I'm going to ask
else.
A question, not All on right. the charts, but okay. what I think is the issue before All us. Right. And that...
Mr. Rushevik's can be seated. Mr. Burtz can take the microphone. And you got 5 minutes. Counsel?
Mr. Burtz, as I understand it, the objected to assessment before us today is the 2005 assessment. I understand there's arguments regarding 204 and 203, but the 2005 assessment. I have in front of me the transcript from the Town of Linwood Board of Review, which was held on November 16, 2005, and it's my understanding, although I haven't read this transcript, I've read parts of it, this is the testimony. This is the record before us with regard to the valuation of the 2005 assessment for the parcel in question. Am I right or wrong?
I understand that'd be the correct.
Okay. And you have, it looks like, information from limited appraisal of Vitali Realty Appraisers dated November 3rd, 2005. How much did, and there's some reference to arm's length transactions and all this sort of stuff, but how much did Vitali say the fair market value of this parcel or of this property was?
How did you what?
I'm sorry. What I'm going to be asking you, since this transcript is the transcript regarding valuation. You've got Scott Williams testifying to value, fair market value. You have Vitali testifying to fair market value. And then you also have the Milky in here regarding fair market value. So what was the fair market value that Scott Williams gave for this property for the tax year 2005?
I think Scott Williams had given the value similar to the value in 2006, 1.4.
What was the value given by Vitale?
By Vitale? Yes, approximately the same.
Okay. And that's okay. They're in here someplace, and I can't find them easily because there isn't testimony as I would expect, except for arguments. What was the testimony regarding the value from the Milky?
Without the value that Milky had testified to, the 1.8 million, 31,500, that was his testimony, and that is the one that the town of Linwood had adopted.
Okay, so, and who offered Scott Williams as an expert here?
Scott Williams, I believe, was offered by town of Linwood.
Okay. And Vitale was offered as an expert on your behalf.
For the Stupar River.
And based on the testimony, and this is a rather, as I said, a rather lengthy transcript, but it doesn't have a question answer of the witnesses in it. Based on that testimony, then, the transcript reflects that they came to a value that was the 1,893,000
or
something like that.
Right.
Okay. So that's the record we're dealing with, right? That's the record that gives us the value for the 2005 parcel. And you have Williams here, and you have Vitale here, and you have Milky here, and this is what they decided on.
There was no court reporter there taking down a question and answer. It was a summarization.
Yeah, you two were summarizing what the records
right.
were. Counsel, I'm asking questions. Okay. Thank you.
I think it was not a verbatim transcript. Yeah.
Well, I'm totally confused. Could you sum this up as best you understand it?
I'm sorry?
I am totally confused about what all these numbers mean. Could you sum up your position to the best of your ability?
Basically, the Stupar River purchased the property at $830,000 in 2001. It was assessed in 2003 for $1.8 million, or about $1 million more than it was paid for. The Stupar River filed an objection, and we went through the first time. And then in 2003 and 2004 and 2005, it was again assessed approximately $1.8 million. And in 2005, Stupar River then filed another objection, and that went before the circuit court, and the circuit court said to the town of Linwood, you either give us a rational explanation of why it was 2006, it was 1.4, when previously it was 1.8, or else we're going to then reassess the 2003, 2004, and 2005. Then Mr. Melke had then sent this letter to the court, and the court then adopted his rationale, and the Stupar River then appealed the decision of the circuit court to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals said that the valuation given in 2006 by Mr. Milky was not based upon the fair market value, but an independent value. And that is why we have appealed this to this court, because if an assessor can assess property that is other than the fair market value, That puts this great body of law, particularly section 70.32 sub 1, in great jeopardy. And we ask, as our remedy, to have the Court of Appeals then refer the matter back to the Circuit Court to then instruct the town of Linwood.
But let me just try once more. Maybe I don't understand this, or maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but as I understood it, the assessor was making an adjustment for what seemed to be a higher rate of taxation in relation to fair market value for commercial property than for certain other classes of property. Am I wrong on that?
No, I understand. That would be the position of
the... Are you sure you're entitled to recover a penny if that is all that happened?
Well, we believe we are, Your Honor, based on the doctrine of equity, that we have overpaid for the years 2003, 2004, and 2005, taxes, and under the doctrine of equity, which is recognized by the Circuit Court, that we are entitled to get a remedy for that wrong. The remedy would be, of course, a refund together with interest.
If I may, just one question.
Bradley.
I thought in statutory cert under chapter 70, you have only there's only four things. Have you exceeded your jurisdiction? They're the typical four things for statutory cert. And in order to prevail, you have to show one of those four things. Am I making sense to you, counsel? Do you
yes.
know what those four things, if I don't have them right in front of me, are? In other words, cert is a very limited review. And the four elements, and they're all throughout our cases, and I just don't have them committed to memory. The first is whether or not the award exceeded the jurisdiction. The second, and it has to be one of the four things for you to get relief under cert, because it's a very circumscribed review in Chapter 70. How does what you're arguing fall within those four requirements in Chapter 70, of Chapter 70? If my question doesn't make any sense, just say that, and I'll withdraw it. It makes sense to me, but if it doesn't make sense to you, because I don't have those four elements that are readily
Well, I think available. One of the elements here is the fact that we have proceeded with respect to our case.
Let me give you the four.
I've got them, Chief. Okay. The court reviews the decision to determine, number one, whether the board kept within its jurisdiction. I only could get to number one. Number two, whether it acted according to law, whether its actions were arbitrary, oppressive, or unreasonable and represented its will and not its judgment. And number four, whether the evidence was such that it might reasonably make the order or determination in question something or other. Words missing. So you have to fit within one of those four categories. Which category do you fit into?
It would be the second category. It's not done according to law.
Okay. So that's not equity you're arguing for. You're arguing under law rather than
The law, right. But the relief would be an equitable one.
Meaning fair.
I'm sorry, Jess.
You use the word equitable to mean fair.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
now
you very much.
I'm going to thank both of you. I try to do it too early, but I don't want to do it too late. So I want to thank both counsel, Mr. Burtz and Mr. Shevitz, for their arguments today on equalized value and assessed value, both of which apparently are very troublesome concepts to the court, to counsel, to the Circuit Court, and the Court of Appeals. So we'll have to unravel this. That ends our hearing in 09AP191, Stupar River versus Town of Linwood Board of Review. And the court will reconvene in the conference room at about 3:25. We are in recess until next week. Do we have oral argument next week? I think not. We're adjourned for April.